Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
to Word Sexy Radio on this January 30th, 2012, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, as we bring you nothing but the best in erotica and all types of literature. We're here tonight as we're going to have two special guests this evening on the show, and the show is going to be a very spectacular one at that. But before we go further, I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that we're doing here at Midwest Publishing Group. As you may know, and some of you may not know, there's a new book that has come out this week, actually. It's called Change Your Lifestyle, Change Your Life, and it's written by Leonard Ledoux Jr., who is an author who has written this self-help book. And for some of you who may not know who that is, that person sometimes goes by the name of Red Snapper as well. So this book is out for you to help you, and it talks about how you can lose weight and how you can change your lifestyle and things that you can do. It talks about a little bit how I lost 110 pounds over a 13-month period. So that book is out there and available. It's available on Kindle and Nook as well as paperback. And it's a small book. It's only like 120 pages, but it gives you a lot of good information on what you can do, and it has a few recipes in there and things to help you in your weight loss and anything that you're trying to do in that encounter. So I encourage you to go out and get that book. And also, we're going to have another installment of Scandalous Motives that's going to be coming out in the next couple of months. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer. But right now, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we do have a great show that's going to be coming on this evening. So I'm going to do that. Without further ado, I want to bring my guest, or my special host guest, that's always here every week with me, my sidekick, my boom coon. Here he is, DB Head. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Red, man. I'm doing better than I deserve.
Okay, so is everything fine with you right now? Because I know that you had something going on with your family. Hopefully everything is okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, everything, you know, everything fell into place. Everything's doing pretty well right now. So, you know,
okay.
Everything's looking pretty good.
All right, brother. Well, we'll keep you in prayer. We ask that those listeners out that are listening, you also keep the brothers in prayer as he has some things that's going on in his family, but you know, we're not going to disclose that. We're just going to go on. But I'm glad you were able to come on the show tonight. Just let me know that you're just that kind of guy that just never gives in, even though things may be going on in your life. You still, the show goes on with you. I understand that. So,
yeah, I mean, you my boy. You know, and if I can't make the show, I'm gonna make the show. So.
Right, I understand. So are you back in Texas, or are you still up in Ohio? Or
no, like I'm here in Houston. So,
okay.
Yeah, came through over the weekend, so now I'm back home.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you on the show. And we're going to have a couple of guests that are not here yet. We got Miss Imani True, who is here with a new book, a little something-something that's out, that's coming out. We'll be talking to her. We're going to be talking to Veronica Black Beauty, who has several books out, and she has a new one that's coming out as well. And in the second half of the segment, we're probably going to talk a little bit about a subject that that's kind of close to me right now, is people that are in relationships with people that may have a illness or something, you know, that how do people deal with being in a relationship like that, and should they, you know, be in them or should they not? Of course, I agree that if you agree to love someone, it shouldn't make a difference on whether they have a condition or not. But, you know, there are some people out there that once they find out something about somebody, they run. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the segment. But I think we also have Carmen on. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing? How is everything going with you? Now, DB, I don't know if you knew that Carmen had a little hiccup last week as well. So are you okay, Carmen?
I'm doing better.
And you sound good, sweetheart. I'm glad you were able to make it, and I'm glad both of you are here, because last week I did not have you both on the show, and it was a show. me and Cotton had to hold it down, and we had our guests and everything. It was good, but it was just we missed you guys. So we're glad you're both back.
Thank you. But I'm sure you and Cotton did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try. But we need the four, you know, the four horsemen has to do the thing, you know what I'm saying? Or horse women, or whatever you want to call it, horse people. So we don't want to sound so chauvinistic, so. But Carmen, I'm glad you're here, because like I was saying, I don't know if you heard what I was saying, the second half, I wanted to kind of speak a little bit about something that might be close to you. People that are in relationships with people who may have a type of illness or something that, you know, that's part of their lifestyle, and how do people handle that, and those who run, you know, from that, when they find out those kind of things, you know, how people deal with that. So I kind of wanted to deal with that. And the only reason why I was bringing it up, because my friend, I don't know if I told you this, Carmen, but I have a friend that I am with that has lupus as well. And, you know, I am in that relationship with her. And we're going to kind of talk about that stuff later, because I know some people who, you know, like I'm not going to mention some of the names of some famous folks that have ran because of that, but we might go into that a little later, if that's okay.
No, I actually think that's a very timely topic. I think this show has been the most vocal I have been about my disease. And so a lot of people reach out to me on Facebook and ask me about those kinds of questions. And so I think it's something that people are talking about for sure.
And that's good. And we definitely want to do that. So tonight we're supposed to have Miss Imani True and Veronica Black Beauty. Now, I don't know if, well, I know Imani said she was going to be here, and I hope that Miss Veronica Black Beauty is going to be here as well. But if not, we'll just be here and we'll talk. Hopefully, DV, I think you responded back to the review that I posted for Untappd. Hopefully, you guys were, you know, saw that.
And oh, like you posted something on my page, and I had no idea, you know, like who it was from. So I was kind of like, you know, Red just sent me an Amazon review. I've been in my car, so I really didn't get a chance to check Amazon. And so that was a review that you made.
I probably didn't post it right on your page. I said, as written on Amazon by Red Snappers, what it said, and then it went into the actual review. So, yes.
Okay, yeah. I just got the review part. So I was like, Red just sent me a review from Amazon. And, you know, I was kind of at a loss. You know, left me with question marks. I really appreciate that review, man, because, you know, you didn't have to, you know, read the book, but you took the initiative, and the fact that you enjoyed it, it really, you know, warms my heart that, you know, Melody put together something that everybody could enjoy.
Well, you know, I support you, and I support you as one of the hosts on this show, as well as a friend, as well as the author, and I think we should always do that for each other, if nothing else, you know. I enjoyed the work. I enjoyed what you did, and the authors that were involved in that, and I think that you guys can, you know, continue to go forth and maybe do some more things in the future. And if anybody does something individually, you know, they have the mechanics now to do it. So, I mean, I'm going to, you know, definitely put out what needs to be put out, and I think people should go out and get that book as well. So, and Carmen, I would definitely, you have a book out, right?
Yes.
And I definitely want to get your book and support you. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you know, we definitely want to support you. I'm going to go out there and get that book, and we'll do that. So I will definitely make sure I get that. So before we leave the show tonight, I want you to give me the title and everything again on that so we can go out there and get that. Because, like I said, we're supposed to support each other. And that's what we should do, you know, and read and you know, put those reviews out there, because I'm going to tell you, reviews are very important to authors, and they're important to, you know, to let you know whether they're good or bad or whatever, to let you know what it is you need to do to get that work going. So that's what we have to do, and that's what, you know, how I would like to support that. So, you know, that's what it's all about in my eyes. I think that's what people should do. So
you know, I gotta ask you, man, you know, which stories are your favorites? Like, you know what? Don't even tell me that. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Just send me a message.
It was the story. It was the story about the guy who wanted to be a woman. No, I'm just playing. No.
There were several stories
in there that was really good. You know, and I don't want to just, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. The whole book was good. I'm not going to just pick out certain stories and say one author was more intriguing. Well, they were, but I think the whole collaboration together for that book took a lot of effort and a lot of creation to do. So I don't want to just give just one or two stories. That but I think all the stories were great. There was a couple that might have been better than others, but I'm not gonna do that to the collaboration of the group.
I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, even though I'm part of the book, there's some authors that surprised the hell out of me. When I was reading the stories, I was like, damn, that's good. You know, and I know I'm not supposed to have favorites, but I do. You know, and that's
just... Yeah, nothing wrong, but Maddie's story was good. I'm not just saying it either, but, you know. Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite?
I'm not telling you my favorite, because I don't want nobody, you know, like, I'm going to cut you, you know. I'm going to cut you deep, you know. I just... went to Melody and I was like, damn, this is a really good story, you know. And she was like, I know. And, you know, it's always nice. It's always nice when you can just look at a story and be like, damn, that's really, really good. Because it makes you want to step up your game just that much, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, with all of these authors that put together these stories, it kind of motivates you to be a better writer, you know, and even use them as some inspiration.
Right. Now, there was a couple of stories. I'm going to say, now, Business Affairs, I mentioned it. That's Melanie, of course. That was a great one. And there was In Search of Lady M. You know, I enjoyed that one as well. That was a great, great one as well, you know. And In Search of by Lady M, that was great, too. So, you know, I mean, there's some great stories in there. So.
Yeah, and they are.
And Carmen, tell me, let's talk about your book a little bit, because while we're waiting on these people to call in, if they're going to call in, let's talk about your book.
I love how you try to put us on the spot when when the authors don't show up. Let's talk about your book, Red.
Well, which one do you want to talk about? Because I have, like, several. So, I mean, have you read any of them?
As a matter of fact, I have, and I told you. I read Diaries of a Creole Cartel.
Oh, yeah, memoirs. Okay. So what did you think about memoirs? Huh? I mean, that story was part of a series, and you could probably read that story without even reading the whole series, because it was a prequel to Scandalous Motives, the whole series of Scandalous Motives. And the reason why that book was written is because I had so many people that was asking for the story of Miss Tangie Laurie and how she came about and how she got the power she got. So what did you get out of that book, though? Did you like the book or you didn't? Or, I mean, whatever you say is fine. I mean, it's your opinion.
Oh, look here, sir. I'm grown. I ain't never scared.
Of course not. I understand that.
I think out of this group, I am probably the default good girl, and you know, there you use a lot of language that I don't normally use, so I think that it's funny to other people to see
that,
because you know, you read it on your iPad, and sometimes you can try to play it off like you're working, but I have very definite facial expressions, so like I'd be sitting in business places and you know, reading through it, I'm like, oh, ain't nobody paying attention to me, and then like I'd get to the scene, the opening scene when they're in Kansas City, and she's with the neighbor boy, Jeffrey, or whatever, like my mouth was wide open, and folks were looking like, what are you doing over there? Like, oh, my, you're not supposed to talk like that. You're only 16. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I had some issues with that because at first when I published that book, and I didn't publish that one on my own company because my company hadn't come to fruition yet, but when I did that, they were trying to get me to change the age of that person because of what was going on in that scene. And as you know, what happened in that scene, and I can say it if anybody read it or not, if they want to read the book, it's Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel. What happens is a girl, Tangie, who's the main character, as a little girl, you know, she was rich, a daughter of a crime, I guess you would say somebody that's a mafia, was a black mafia, a Creole mafia, and she was at home. She skipped school one day. She was supposed to be in school, but she was with the neighbor boy who was older than her, quite older than her. And she used him for what she wanted, and then she got caught by her dad. And, of course, the dad, when he catches her, he kills the guy. and then have him brushed out and taken away like he didn't exist. So it's just one of those things. You know, I guess when you're a mob boss, you can do that kind of thing. So, but I thought it was, you know, I just enjoyed writing that, and I enjoyed writing those kind of, you know, stories. So hopefully you liked it, and, you know, it'd
really
be great.
I really like the friendship between Tansy and Levette.
Right, right. They were very, very, very close. Very close. And, of course, things happen later on in the book that they, you know, they stay close until the end, actually. So,
right.
You know, even with the pimp that they was involved with. So, you know, that's, I mean, just go out and get the book, y'all, that you have it. I think it's a great book, and I'm glad you read it. So, and I appreciate you doing that. But I definitely want to get your book. Since you don't want to talk about it, I still want to get your book, and I want to read it. And I want to give you a review, so hopefully you can give me one on something. You read that book. If you feel like you want to give me one, if you haven't already, I appreciate that. But like I said, it's just one of those. It's just what people do. So now, I don't know why our guests aren't here. I think one of them was supposed to call in for the second half, and the other one, and probably, you know, sometimes they get so tied up that they forget that they're supposed to be interviewed. So. You know, it's like it is. So, I mean, we can still do our thing. It's not like.
Yeah, I mean, we can go ahead and just talk. We can just go ahead and talk about the topic that we were going to talk about for the second half hour. I mean, for the second hour.
Well, until they come in. Right, right,
right.
And that topic, for those who want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio. And the topic that we're going to discuss is being in a relationship with someone who may have a, I ain't going to say terminal illness, but may have an illness that might affect the relationship. And what I'm going to do is, since we have someone here who is living that, I'm going to let Carmen, if she would like, to kind of talk about that and kind of bring a little bit of how her experience into it, and then I can bring some of the things that I've learned from being in the relationship I'm in. And then if there's some people that want to call in and talk about it, we would definitely love to hear from you about that.
I have a little expertise in that area, too. So.
Okay, well, we definitely want to hear from you, too. So, but Carmen, if you would, please.
Insanity isn't a terminal illness, even.
Well, it doesn't have to be terminal, but I mean, I know there. Well, terminal illnesses could be in that, but I wasn't really trying to go.
No, you clearly didn't hear what I said. I told DV his insanity is not a terminal illness. He can just take his medication.
Oh, insanity! Oh, okay.
but it is contagious.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Okay, and I think Cotton is here now, so. We have all four of us now, right now, and we don't have our guests. So, Ms. Cotton, how are you doing?
I'm good. Where's everybody?
Hey, Cotton.
Hey, Ms. Cotton.
Hey, GV. Hey, Carmen. How you feeling, Ms. Carmen?
I'm doing better.
That's good. That's
she
good.
Sounds a lot good. She sounds really good. She sounds really good.
She does.
I'm glad, because sometimes Carmen come on here and sound like she just want to kill somebody. But anyway,
there's only when we have more men than females. There's only when we have more dudes than females.
Yeah. You see, he had to smooth over there real quick. Not give you an opportunity to say anything, Carmen.
I see that. So we're going to go in on Carmen tonight. Okay.
No. We want you to go ahead. And so, Cotton, we'll bring you up to speed real quick. Since while we're waiting on our guests, if they're going to call in, I know Amani's calling in the second hour, but I don't know about the first hour. It's supposed to be in Veronica, Black Beauty. But anyway, what we're going to do is this topic tonight we're going to talk about is being in relationships with someone or somebody who may have a terminal or an illness that may cause, I ain't going to say it caused problems in a relationship, but how do people deal with being in those and those who run, are they right to do that or whatever? So.
No.
And we're going to let Carmen kind of start that out for us, and then we're going to go into, you know, some questions for those who are listening. So, Ms. Carmen, are you ready?
I guess I hate to be the leader of the pack, quite frankly. I've been avoiding this conversation for a while. No, seriously. I'm a member of a couple of lupus support groups, and you hear stories. There was a pretty young girl in our group who has to be in her late 20s, and she had a boyfriend, and they've been seeing each other for a couple of months, and apparently she didn't tell him she had lupus, and she ended up telling him, and he just was like, I can't do this. I'm done. And then the when you start dating them. It's like, is it the first date, is it the second date, is it the third date? That kind of shocked me because I wasn't really aware that it's somebody else's business. I mean, I guess you tell them when you tell them, but, I mean, there are people who are saying, like, it's not fair not to tell them early on in the relationship so they can decide what they want to put up with. Kind of makes me wonder if, like, maybe if you have lupus, you're not supposed to be in a regular relationship. And I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that if I am in a situation like that, I would want to know, because it's just like anything. If you don't tell somebody something, it's like, you know, they find out later, it's like they're being cheated. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that if they're any kind of person, you know, you let them know about it, and then, of course, they should make that decision at that point. But I don't understand why somebody would run unless it just, I mean, well, I guess some people just can't handle situations. I don't know.
But even more importantly, for those people who don't know, give them a rundown on what lupus is and what lupus does.
Right.
Lupus is an autoimmune deficiency disease, and basically what happens is your body attacks itself, like it's physically attacking colds and foreign substances and foreign things. I feel fortunate to say that I've been a person where it attacks my joints more than anything else, so it results in a lot of pain, but I haven't suffered nearly as much as some other people I've seen who've had it attack their heart or their lungs. There is no cure, and they're not even really 100% sure what causes it. So it's a couple of things, environmental factors, et cetera.
I have a friend who has it in her brain. And, you know, of course, it caused strokes in the past and all kinds of things to her. And, you know, it's just a lot of things that goes on that she had to deal with because of it, you know, different things with her immune system and all that. But, you know, being in a relationship with her, other than her being tired a lot, you know, and you try to give her time and everything. I mean, you could look at her, and I'm sure most people, it's probably the same case, somebody getting in their car. I'm sure that it's the same case with a lot. You could look at her and you would never notice she was sick. A lot of times people would you know, she has a handicap sticker, so if she parks in a handicap spot, people be like, what are you doing parking there? That's illegal. But think she's, you know, not supposed to do that because she doesn't look sick. But, you know, how does people, you know, I mean, everybody doesn't look sick just because they have an illness that might be something of that nature. You know, it's just, I mean, but as far as a relationship, sometimes it can bring a toll to it, but I knew about it when I got into it. So I made a choice whether to stay in a relationship with this person and be with them and or not. My thing was, is I think if you have something like that, you know, if I had it, I can only speak for me because I can speak for somebody else. If I had something going on, I would like to let the person know so they can make their choice if they want to do it. But, you know, just like the girl didn't tell the guy and he ran from it. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess he didn't care about her.
So when do you deserve to know?
Because if you're in love with someone,
But when do you deserve to know? Is it first date conversation? Is that something she has to tell
you? Well,
she
told me. We talked about that when we first got to, before we even went out on a date, that she had this. So I knew coming in what I was getting involved in. But some people don't do that. So, I you know, my case, I knew that she had this. We talked about it. So she asked me if I was able to, how would I feel about that and everything. And I said, you know, I mean, you're a normal person. Just because you have this doesn't mean that I can't be with you, you know, whatever. I mean, I understand that you can't go out a lot and do a lot of things sometimes because of being fatigued or whatever. But, you know, I think if you care enough about somebody and you want to be with them, you know, that shouldn't play a part in their, you know, I don't think it should, but unless it gets so bad that you can't stand to see them deteriorate. I mean, but all of us are deteriorating every day, with some maybe deteriorating worse than others, quicker than others because of disease or whatever, but a lot of us don't know what we got. So, I mean, just because somebody has a terminal illness or something like that doesn't mean that they're going to die before you do. So, I mean,
speaking from my experience, I have thalassemia trait, which is basically an offshoot of sickle cell. So whenever I date, I have to make sure that the person that I'm dating doesn't have either thalassemia trait or sickle cell trait, because if we would have kids together, it increases the likelihood that one of our children is going to have sickle cell. Now, my mother is dealing, she has full-blown sickle cell, so she goes through her crisis and everything, which is why, you know, part of the reason I had to fly back home, because typically a sickle cell patient, someone with full sickle cell, doesn't live that long in life. They don't make it past 50 years old. So my mother is an anomaly. But, you know, because I see what she goes through, you know, I have to weed out the people who may have a bloodborne trait like mine, because, you know, I don't want my kids to have to experience the same thing that I've witnessed my mother going through for the last, you know, 30-some-odd years. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's just kind of one of those times where I have to be wary of the people that I'm with and that I'm around.
Right. Right, I understand that. Well, and I do, I understand that. Well, you know, I mean, like I said, me personally, I think that, if you're going to be with someone and you have this, that you should talk to them, because you don't want nobody that's there that ain't going to support you.
She hasn't told me a time limit. Like, what's the deal? If she hasn't told you by the third date, it's a problem?
Oh, me?
No, I don't think it's a problem. I just think that, I think the person, that's just like, well, no, I don't think it's a problem, and everybody else can answer as well, but I don't think it's a problem, but I think that it's, I mean, I know it's hard to talk about that, but I think that if you like this person enough after a couple of dates and you're sure that you want to kind of be with them, that they should be offered that opportunity. I don't know when the right time is to say it. In my situation, I think it was right in the beginning, because that way the person didn't want to waste time if you're not going to be one that's going to, you know, stick around because they have it.
I mean,
but
in all honesty, we try to be altruistic. You know, we try to be that person that says, no, I wouldn't, you know, walk away from them. But just think, suppose this person had herpes, you know, which is a virus that you can't get rid of. Or even,
so
you know, take Cookie Johnson.
I can give you that. I can't give you lupus.
But see, you know, what I mean, a disease is a disease. A virus is a virus. And you can pass these things down to your children, which is, you know, why a lot of us, you know, who carry around some sort of, whether it be autoimmune disease or some bloodborne disease or even a virus, it can be passed down. And so that's why a lot of us are weary of having kids with someone else, you know, because, you know, we know what we're dealing with. So it's hard for us to be like, okay, you know, I want to have kids that I want to pass this, you know, this trait down to.
Well, let me say this, and I hope that Cotton speaks, because I haven't heard her say anything. But
trying to speak earlier.
So did she want to speak again? Did we cut her off?
No, go ahead.
No. Okay. Well, what I was going to say, Carmen, because it sounded like when you said, well, I know you say you can't pass through this, but when is the right time to tell somebody about that? What is wrong with that? I think it should be told, and they should know, and if they're not going to be there to support, then they need to get the hell out of your life. I just feel that why waste time with somebody? You get to know them, get to like them really well, and you tell them later on, and they can't handle it, and they run out. It's just not right for you.
I'm not saying
as well as them.
Asking the question, because like that's what the conversation evolved into. She didn't tell him. I think they've been seeing each other for about 3 months before she told him. And so yes, he got out. But people were saying, oh, well, I tell folks on the first date, and I'm like,
no, first date.
I'm not asking you to take care of me on the first date. I don't know if I want to spend my life with you. I might not even like you by the time they take the salad away.
I don't feel like that's
your business.
Right. Well, that's not what I mean. I think I kind of said that before we went to that, but I just think that because I've been knowing, I knew this person for a while before I started going out with them, but I didn't know they had, so they told me about some of the things that was going on in their life. You know, I mean, I knew them, but I didn't know that they had this thing going on with them until they told me, because we were getting intimate, and they wanted to know, well, you know, since we're going in this direction, you know, I have this. Can you handle this? If you can't, then I think it's fair for me to tell you. But, I mean, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, it's case by case, of course. I'm not saying there's a right way to do any of this. And I know I'm not living with that type of disease, so, you know, I don't have that. I could have something else that I don't know about. But I'm just saying, if I was to get something, when would be the right time to tell the person? You know, if I'm already in something, then yes. But if it's something like you said, herpes or something like that, those things need to be told. But I just don't know when.
At that point where you decide that this person could be potentially somebody you could see yourself with is when you need to say something. And not before that, because like Carmen said, there is no guarantee, and you don't want just to tell people all your business on that first date. I think at that point where you consider becoming intimate, or that you see them as potential, look, you know, this guy could, you know, potentially be a husband down the road, or this girl could potentially be my wife down the road, you need to open your mouth and say something, because, you know, they're you need to just simply, I mean, whenever you get into a relationship, you can't have any secrets. You can't say, you know, well, certain things are exclusive, I can't tell you. You know, you have to be willing to tell them something that may affect them as well. You know, so you have to open up on that aspect.
I agree.
Well, I mean, you know, she agrees, and still,
no,
I just don't know. I don't know.
She did try to say something earlier, and I'm just laughing because I'm wondering if since all this time has passed,
so
we've all made her point. And so she's like, yeah, I agree. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It was so sharp, too. I agree. You might as well just bang a gavel after that one.
So, Cotton, what do you have to say? Since I keep cutting you off, what do you have to say?
You know what? Actually, DV did make my point, and then some of the other points that were said were valid. I think it's the timing, and as you said, Red, it's a case-by-case type of a situation. I really believe if you see that the relationship is starting to take a different turn, then you should definitely say something. Or if time has passed and you're still seeing that person, you should sit them down and have that conversation with them just to see if they want to continue something with you. So I agree. That's why I said
I can't
text the hospital. In the future, when you want to speak, just go ahead and do like Carmen does. Just start talking.
Just butt in.
We'll shut the hell up. Yeah, we'll shut up.
You guys never hear me, though.
Well, you're so soft-spoken.
I know. That's why
sweet mangoes. Sweet mangoes.
Familiar.
Did you get that sweet mangoes review that I did for you today?
No, I didn't.
You need to go check it out because there's a review out on Amazon.
Oh shoot.
For sweet mangoes.
Man, you're just doing a lot of views, man. You're putting us all to shame. I'm gonna have to start.
I just had to catch up on some stuff I read and some things that I got pieces of. I haven't read all of Sweet Mangoes, but I know the parts of that I've talked and spoken with this person that has written it by the name of Cotton, the spoken word poet. It is a great book. So I give a review.
I appreciate that.
So
how you like,
you know,
the cover, though?
I love the cover with the legs and the fruit in between. It's right red snapper. It's all the way red snapper. Complete.
You wouldn't mind eating that fruit?
I will eat that fruit without a problem, even if there was no fruit there. Okay, let's get off of that now. Let's go back now. But I mean, you know, she's great. You know, she does well. But getting back to the subject, though, really, I just think that it's just, like you said, it's case by case, and I agree with you too, Carmen, what you say. You don't want to just put your stuff out there because you don't know this person. You don't even know if you want to be with this guy, or, you know, you
right.
don't know. So you got to wait till you kind of see what's going on with this person and kind of feel them out and see where they're at, like you do in any other relationship. And then if you feel that you want to get, you're getting to that point, and then you have to decide when you want to tell them. Hopefully, if they care about you enough that they will not leave.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and know that everybody may not agree with our point of view on this, but it's just how I feel about it. Like, for me, I think the biggest fear of lupus is that one day I will become a burden to the people who care about me. That's what I would never want to be. I would never want to be someone that they all have to take care of, because I'm just always taking care of myself, and I'm good at taking care of other people, but I don't want to be... I feel like I'm worthy. And so...
Somebody getting out
somebody
the car.
Somebody put something in the microwave.
In the microwave. Yeah, I was just about to say that. The car in the microwave. 1 minute, 2. Somebody hungry.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Was that you, Carmen, that was getting something? Or was
sorry.
That
no, that was that was somebody in my household. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? Like, just to springboard off something Carmen said, like, I honestly feel that if somebody truly loves you, it is never a burden. Because, like, my father, you know, knows my mother has sickle cell. And, you know, he's always the first one at the hospital, the last one to leave. You know what I'm saying? He married her knowing that this was going to be something that they were going to live with, you know, for the rest of their lives. And her, and knowing that her life may be shorter than his. But he was still like, look, you know, if you need me, I'm there for you. And you have to admire that type of devotion, that type of love. Because if someone
yeah.
truly loves you, it is never a chore. It is a part of,
well, let me ask
you know,
you something.
Who they know
since
you are.
Since you brought that up, remember, I don't know, I'm older than all of you, so, and I don't want to sound like I'm this old guy, but, I mean, there was a point where they were doing a lot of sickle cell testing back in the 70, early 70s and stuff, and now you don't hear anything about that anymore. They think it stopped or something? I mean, it just... I mean, they were at one point. They was testing everybody to see who had it, the trait, and all this stuff, and everything. And then they just kind of like, you don't
because,
hear much about
I mean,
that.
The thing is because cancer has become the you know the disease that everybody wants to back. All the other diseases
yeah.
kind of get pushed in the background. You know, whether it be breast
okay.
cancer or colon cancer. You know, these are the things that they want to knock out first. So everybody else kind of gets pushed to the back. You know,
okay.
and unless
well,
you're a superstar to make a case for you.
Right. We
yeah.
got 951 area code. Who is this calling in? State your name and who's calling.
Mr. Snapper, this is Imani. I'm calling in and listening to tonight's show and support your people.
Hey, how are Imani? You? Is Imani True?
Hey, Imani True.
Hey, now, what's going on?
So I got a question for you, Imani, because we want you to definitely speak here in the next 17 minutes, but aren't you supposed to be a guest tonight on the show?
A little bit late. I kind of got caught up in traffic, so I'm running late. I would have checked in early to catch the first part
no,
of the show, man.
No, baby, you, mm-hmm. the second half was yours, remember?
So I'm laying the cut and support right now and, just listen up.
Well, we definitely going to talk to you in a few minutes about that little something-something. Okay, because that's going to be hot. Okay, we're going to get into that in a few minutes, but we're glad you were able to call in. Veronica Black Beauty, I guess she decided she didn't want to do the show today because we didn't hear from her. So, but just as you were listening, we were talking about relationships with people that may be in relationships with someone who may have a terminal illness or something like that. How do they handle it? Should they walk away? When do you tell them when you first meet them or whatever? When does that happen? So did you want to kind of make a comment on that?
You know what? I think that's kind of heavy if you tell somebody when you first meet them. But you definitely don't want to go into a relationship with secrets if you already know you have, you know, if you have a terminal illness. Because it is going to affect your, you know, the other person's life. You know, they may be taking care of you or, you know, just have to be involved in, you know, seeing you through that difficult time. But I don't know if you tell them when you first meet them. That'd be kind of heavy if y'all aren't really, you know, haven't got at least to a certain level before you start talking about such a heavy topic. You might, you know, kind of scare them away or whatever. So, but
right.
I think part you should definitely let them know because it's going to affect their life, you know. But early on, it might be a little heavy at the first date, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of spoke on that earlier. You don't want to tell all your business in the beginning. But because you don't even know if they're going to be hanging around. You might not like that.
Exactly.
You might say, get the fuck out of my, you know.
And now you know something intimate about you.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You know, you don't want, yeah, you definitely don't want to do that. So, but, yeah, I'm interested, and I hope you like that review I did for you last week. It was definitely great. Your book is absolutely magnificent. I downloaded it on Kindle and, you know, I got a Kindle for Christmas, and I'm just using the fuck out of it, and I got your book. And that damn story is so fucking good. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you, I knew you was a great writer from Strawberries and Stilettos and all that, but goddamn, Your girl is crazy, boy, Fatima.
We're going to speak on that in a little. We're going to speak on her in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about her in the next hour. So we got 15 minutes before we go into that. But I just wanted to let everybody know this is hot, the subject, and we're going to let you talk about that. But getting back to the panel. I'm sorry.
No, I said I'm hanging out with you, man.
And also, just so y'all know, I got this thing started before our literary conference we're going to be doing this week, this summer. So we're going to definitely get that thing off the ground. I met with the event planners yesterday, matter of fact, and we're in the process of getting the venue and everything together, so more will be coming on that. And I want definitely all you authors here, if you can, to come and support and be part of this to sell your books, because we're going to do this thing. And here in Kansas City, we want to get this going. And, of course, this is a segue into Ms. Cotton. Talk about her piece of that. So go ahead, Ms. Cotton. Still there? Spoken word girl, soft spoken.
Yes.
Female of the hour. We know you ain't a spoken word artist. I knew you were gonna hear that.
That was
my comeback. I ain't no goddamn spoken word artist. No. Go ahead, baby. Talk about the summer love.
Oh, Summer Love, oh my goodness. Summer Love is going to be so awesome. It's going to be so beautiful. The fact that I will be back in my hometown, you know, giving people what they've been asking me for the past couple of years and doing
really?
The book event.
Sweet
even
mangoes.
More.
Okay.
Sweet mangoes. Sweet mangoes is it. Is it.
Oh, my.
So, you know, when somebody's doing something good or you get a good compliment or anything good going, just yell, sweet mangoes. Like, you know, that's the shit. Sweet mangoes.
It is the shit, that's right. And just so you know, she's going to be coming into Kansas City, and she's going to be doing the Summer Love. That's going to be part of the literary event we're going to do, which we're calling the Kansas City Book Fest. So we're in the process of trying to get all that put together, and more will come, and we're trying to get all the authors to come in. Tables are going to be about $200 a table, and you can share a table with another author. I'm not going to be so shallow that you can't do that, so you guys will pay $100 apiece. And there's a lot of things that's going to be going on that you'll be able to get your money's worth, because there's going to be the party that we're going to be going on Saturday night. VIP.
Oh.
And there's going to be some things that's going on. And that's also going on Friday night. It's going to be the poetry event that Cotton is talking about, Summer Love. So you're coming in and you're going to get something. You're not just going to be there. And you got to sell your books. That's your thing. I don't do that. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going on. And, you know, tables that I think are pretty cheap for that price. And, you know, we're trying to get 50 authors or 100 authors that they want to sell new tables together or whatever. And we're going to make this thing work and get people in to buy your books and see your things. So that's what we're trying to do, trying to put Midwest on the map, and we want Kansas City to be part of that, and we want to try to make this an annual thing. And if this works out this year, next year we're going to be doing some literary awards to go along with that. So that's the thing that we want to do.
Oh, so, I wanted to say, too, if there's any poets that are listening that are in the Kansas City area, Kansas, Missouri, and if you want to be a part of the show, just inbox me on Facebook, Sheila Campbell. If you can't, message Red.
Yeah, just let me know, and I'll get it over to her on that end, because she's handling that piece. So well, we definitely got this thing, trying to get it started. And there's another conference that's going to be going on during that time. So there's a conference, I think it's a youth conference, not real young kids, but kids that are going to college or something. So they got some kind of conference going on here in Kansas City at that time, but that's not going to stop us. We're going to go ahead and get this thing. And there's a couple of venues we're looking at that's pretty good. So, like I said, I just want to do something different, because a lot of times you go to these conferences, you sell your books, and there's nothing but just you. And then they may have some seminars. There's going to be a few things with some of the authors. I'm going to be asking to do some talks on self-publishing and different things that they've experienced that they want to give, you know, maybe an hour on that. And Imani, I definitely want to get you to do that. As well, and DV, if you come to town, we definitely want you to do some things on that. And just talk about, you know, just an hour of your time to talk about something that you experienced. We'll be doing that. We'll give you more on that later. But the thing is get here, sell books, do what you need to do, get that going. So that's what we want to do. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put a little intermission song in real quick, and then when we get back, we're going to be talking to Imani True. And before we go, though, there's another number, 713-876. State your name, where are you calling from?
Yes.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm sorry. My name is Sean, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Did you have a question or anything for anybody right now before you go into intermission?
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't even know that I was on. I mean, I was
That's
just
all right,
calling
baby.
To listen.
I did that. It's okay. It's all right. No,
okay.
You can listen. It's fine. Don't run, okay? Don't leave, because sometimes when I answer somebody, they're like, oh, God, he said something to me, and they run. So please don't do that.
Okay.
Don't fucking hang up. But thank you for calling in anyway, okay?
Okay,
so we're going to go ahead on into the intermission song. It's Love After War. I think that's a good song to play right now. That's so. We'll do that, and then we're going to get into our money, okay?
How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well, quite well. I'm happy today. It's a great day, a great, great day. Kansas City was in almost 70 degrees a day, and it's not even spring yet, so I enjoyed that today. Yeah, it was nice. You know, of course, some of those people, I ain't gonna say who they were, but they were half naked as soon as they see the sun. You know, they walk around in shorts and flip flops, but you know, I wasn't that happy. So yeah, but it was good. It was a good day. So how's things going with you guys?
Yeah, things good out here, man. Things good.
Well, you know, tell us about that. A little something, something. You know, get us, tell us about that.
That's my novel about Miss Fatima Briggs, who is leaving an abusive marriage and finds out that her husband, soon to be ex-husband, has a secret that he's been keeping the whole 20 years they've been married. But once she, you know, gets free and starts living her own life, then she's forced to face some secrets of her own and some things that she's been lying to herself about. And just how these things play out and, you know, how you need to know your truth and, you know, don't lie to yourself. Just be honest. So.
Well, I tell you what, I enjoyed the book. And I think I said this in the beginning when I first started doing the radio show, and me and Arthur myself, a lot of times I don't get to read other authors' stuff because I, you know, because of me always in my creative mode as well. But I have to say, I'm glad I took time out to read your book because you are a phenomenal writer. And I'm not just saying that, but you know how to put the words down and you know how to make it where it's very intriguing where people want to actually read and what's going on with you. A lot of authors are trying to get to that focus when they write. I actually see the character. I actually feel like I'm there when I'm reading your work. You do a great job of the explanation and in first person of explaining this person, of doing this thing. You have the art. And I just wanted to let you know that, and that's and you do a great job. You do a great job in that, and your character development is phenomenal. A lot of times, people will create characters and they don't go deep into the character enough. So you're trying to make it up yourself what you think the character is like. There was no question about Miss Fatima. There was no question about her ex-husband and all the characters in the book. And you know, there was no question what they were bringing to the table. So I mean, how did you learn to do all that? How did you just get that into your spirit of doing that, into your writing?
You know, I don't know. I've been writing since I was 5 or 6 years old, so I think I just kind of developed a lot over the years, kind of took a break from it to raise a family, and I think when I put it away, I realized how important it was to me, you know, and after a 10-year break, I just decided I still had that hunger. You know, I had developed as a writer. I had, you know, grown into my own as a woman, as a mother and a wife. And you know, so I thought by the time I got to that stage, it was time for me to do what I always should have been doing. And I just approached it as something that I was born to do, and I just jumped right in and, you know, learned, take advice, and watched other people. When I wasn't writing, I was paying attention to what other people were writing. I was trying to learn the craft a little bit, and that 10-year break really did me well.
I agree. You know, like I said, you have a great writing style. It's yours. It's not a copy or something that you try to eliminate or you know how some people try to emulate somebody else's work or try to write a certain way that they've seen somebody else write when they read somebody else's stuff. I mean, it was just great. You know, that's the only way I can say it. I mean, and not because I know you or anything, but I think that you did a great job in the book. If it was not that good, I would have been like, hey, Imani, it's great that you wrote, you know, and everything, and, you know, that would have been it. But it was great. I think this is a great book to come after the Strawberry and Stilettos. And you know, I think it was really good that you decided to bring that out after the anthology that you did with Dreama, because Dreama can write as well. But I'm just glad that you guys, that you did it in this manner, in this way. So, panel, what questions do y'all have for Miss Armani?
Man, I wish I had a chance to read the book. You know, the way you talked about it, kind of, it's like, damn, you know, this got to be something I got to download now.
Well, I recommend you do that
right now. Yeah,
I recommend you do that because the book is really good. It really is.
Is that DV?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Hint.
But see, this is the thing, like,
I don't know if I should have done the sounder on that one. Mr. Hint.
What is going on with Mr. Hint?
I don't know. I mean, enjoyed your reading. I every time I see you, you're surrounded by beautiful ladies and all on the couch with 7-8 women around you. And I don't know. Very intriguing.
Don't let the pictures fool you. I'm just around good people. You know.
Uh-huh.
And the fact, yeah. you know a few of them, so, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Let's take the focus off me. Okay. It's all about you tonight. Yeah, okay. Deflection at its finest.
So have you done any book signings for this book? Yeah, I mean, it's not a hard copy yet, though, right?
No, it's not a hard copy yet. It just released a couple of weeks ago. I did I had a book signing at Barnes & Noble selling strawberries, and I had promo stuff for a little something. So that'll probably debut February the 18th, I think, is my first event at a Black History Month in the library here. Paperback comes out next Monday. So I'm looking forward to that. The e-book's doing really, really well. The reviews are looking really good. And I'm excited because I kind of, this is half erotica and half crime drama, which is where my training is. So I really wanted to transition over into writing, crime and dramatic type works that would be, made into movies and, that type of thing. And so this work was perfect for me to do that, coming on the heels of Strawberries, kind of mix that erotica with a really good dramatic story and deep characters. And that's what I was trying to accomplish.
Well, you did a great job in doing that, and I think that that's really good because it's kind of like what I do. I mean, I write erotica, but my stories are not just erotic. You know, the thing is you want to have a story that has something else, like a crime, some death or something, somebody getting killed or somebody getting their ass whooped or something that's in there besides somebody just fucking all the damn time. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. And that's what I liked about it, because you had so many elements there that wasn't just erotic. And you never said you was just an erotic writer anyway. You just happened to write that for that time. So, I mean, you want to be an all-around writer.
And you also want to feel like you're developing as a writer and you can write different things and you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. You just want to try and, expand your skill, expand your audience, write different things that people may not expect you to write, especially if you intend to have any kind of longevity. Now, if you want to be a one-book wonder, then, you can do that. But if you're trying to, have some longevity, 4 or 5 books in, then you need to, diversify, challenge yourself a little bit and, see if you can do some other genres and some other things just so you can develop as a writer,
Yeah, that's why I did actually get into the paranormal fiction as well, because I just didn't want to be stuck in just doing erotica, even though I still can put some erotic tendencies in the paranormal, because definitely writing about vampires or anything that's supernatural, you can definitely put some sex in it as well, but it doesn't keep you just stuck in that area, and I think that's what you want to do. You want to be able to show that you can do more than just one type of genre of writing, and then that
Absolutely.
Makes you a writer. Yes. So, Carmen, Cotton, do y'all have any questions?
No. I didn't have any questions right now.
You don't?
No.
Okay, I have a quick question, because I'm full of questions. I'm one of those people that, my method of thinking is master, jack of all trades, but master of one. So, if you feel like what genre do you feel like you would like to master? I mean, because, if you're good at erotica, why not go ahead and master it and with those storylines, don't make it, straight romance or straight suspense or straight horror, would you dabble in each one of those genres but still keep it slightly erotic?
I think I would probably always have, an erotic flair, some erotic scenes in it. But I've been writing so long that I've dabbled in just about everything. The poetry, some paranormal, I did some spoken word, a couple of murder mysteries. So I've just been writing a really, really long time. And I made my bones early as a short story writer. So always doing submissions for this, that, or the other thing. And so I came up just being able to, go back and forth like that. I like the versatility. I like being able to, like I said, challenge mm-hmm. myself. I enjoy the erotica. I loved poetry when I was doing it. I'd like to get back to it. But the crime stuff is what I know as far as it, my education base, and so I'm really excited to put that out there. And quite frankly, there aren't that many African-American crime writers, and so I think that's something that I could put out there that would be different, you know?
So make your own niche. Create your own niche.
Yeah, kind of sort of.
Yeah.
I love writing erotic stuff.
I can see you having some type of a character that's like kind of like what Walter Mosley does, you know, like what he did with his Easy Rollins series or something like that, where you have some type of crime fighter that, or some type of a private eye or someone that goes around and solves these different cases in your books. That would definitely be something, and I'm not trying to tell you what to write or how to do it, but I could see you doing something like that.
I'm already working on 2-3 part crime series. That's actually next, but those will probably go straight to ebook. So I got those, working in the mix, just trying to squeeze them in between everything else. I think I'd really, really like to do that, and then still do my erotica on the side. There are always submissions for erotica everywhere, and just like to kind of have my feet in both worlds for a minute.
You know, that's what you got to do. I mean, keep it coming in any kind of way you can, and just to get that flow of creation going, I think that's good. And that's the one reason why I chose to do it the way I was doing it, as far as I have two paranormal series that I'm working on. But after I finish The Scandalous Motives one decade later, I think that it's the fifth installment of that series, The Scandalous Motives series. Unless the fans want more, I'm going to probably make that it. But I am going to leave it open so that if they do want more, I can give them that. But I kind of want to dabble into this paranormal. I like this paranormal thing. It's just, you know, the creation of trying to create something that's bizarre and make it work, you know, it's and then add the erotic twist to it as well is intriguing to me. And that's what I am definitely trying to get into. And that's what I plan to, you know, try to take forth. So. But I like the way you did that book, and I wish you much success in it, and I hope that you, you know, get as much as you can out of it, you know, financially, whatever, or whatever that you're looking for in your writing, because your writing is very good the way you put it together and how the person is explaining what went down and how it went down. And that's all I'm going to say. Please go out and get the book. So you said you're going to be doing some book signings and stuff after the book comes out, or?
Yeah, I got a couple of things lined up that I already had set up for Strawberries. So got something in Atlanta next month, Word on the Street. And then in May, I'll be at the Baltimore Urban Book Festival. June,
you're
I got
be at
something
Word on the
out.
I was, Sue asked me to come to that. I was going to try to do that, Word on the Street. Yeah. That's Lisa,
and,
right?
That's Lisa, yeah. So I'm going out there for that. I'm saving up your June, right?
We're June. The 22nd through the 24th is the dates that we're scheduling, and hopefully we can get that. So we're going to definitely let you know early enough so that you can have that possibly on your calendar. And I'm saying that because I'm hoping DV comes, and I'm hoping Carmen can make it, and Cotton is going to be here because she's part of the setup of things that's going on. So we definitely want you and Dreamer and everybody that you can think of to come down and then have a good time with us. So, you
that's
know, we just want that's our thing. And DV, you got to come, man. I missed you last time. I'm not missing you.
Yeah.
You got to show up. So we're
going
to be sure
alone in St. Louis. Alone.
I shouldn't have. I really wanted to be there for that. And I really wanted to be there. People were looking for me, too. And I definitely messed up. I should have brought my ass on down. But
hindsight 2020. Huh?
Was Amani, were you there? Was you there?
No, I haven't been to anything out in the Midwest, not yet. And that's a good look because you guys don't have that many events out there. I'm out on the West Coast in Vegas and Cali. I get to the East Coast, but there's not that many things going on in the middle of the country. So if you can get that event popping off and let it get some popularity and get on, that'll be a real good look because there's not that much going on out there, man.
Well, who are you telling?
I'm trying to make it happen. And matter of fact, once we get the venue, like I said, once we iron that down, I don't think $200 a table is too much because I know I've been to events where tables cost way more than that. So,
In your
you
own
know,
city,
just,
they don't even give you the home city discount.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So, you know, we're going to work this thing. I'm not here to break Arthur's. I'm here to help them make money, and it's up to them when they get here to do that. But, you know, we're going to try to give you something to do while you're here. So that's what it's all about. And I know this Cotton is going to have this great thing that she's doing with her Summer Love, her poetry event. And I'm going to let her talk about Sweet Mangles here in a minute. But we definitely want, you know, those that are listening to support this. And we're going to be, it's going to be open. Like I said, there's going to be a piece there for the public to come in. And what we're doing differently is, like, a lot of places you go to these events, they don't have anything for the authors to do after at night. You know what I'm saying? After it's over, it's like you go to your room.
Right.
Well, we have a party. We're going to have a party here for you. We're going to have some stuff for you to do. And if you want to hang with some of your fans and talk to them, there's going to be a time for where you'll be able to do that. And if you don't want to, there's going to be some time for just authors to mingle. And we're going to have all this stuff set up. So that's what we're working on, trying to get that going.
Sounds good.
That's
what I'm saying. So, and you know, Ray will probably throw an orgy or two in there. He'll be like, hey, we're going to have an orgy fest. You know,
why are you telling everybody that? And that's what we see. Nobody's supposed to know about. But anyway,
hey, I'm just getting to.
And another thing that I'm going to do that's different, too, just why, since we're talking about this, is I'm doing this thing first come, first serve. So the first 10, 15 authors, they're going to get everything. If they get a table, I don't care if you mainstream or not, you get the tables. I'm not separating mainstream authors that come in if they want to be here. I mean, I'm putting everybody in one damn room, and they all going to go for it. So, you know, it's you sell the books. I'm not going to have an area for Eric Jerome Dickey and all these people over here in one area and then all the other people that ain't shit over here. You know, I'm not doing that like they do in other conferences that I've been to where they do that to you. That's not happening. Right. This is a fair. So it's every man for himself. You get out, if you get the table first, then you get the first number one table. Guess what? I don't care. I don't care how many books New York Times bestsellers you've been. It's not happening like that at this conference. It's not a conference. It's like a Harlem Book Fest, just in the Midwest. So you come in, you sell your books. That's what we're doing. I don't care who sold what or how many books or how many movies they got their books are. If they get the last table, then they got the last damn table. That's what I'm doing. So if they don't like that, then I guess they won't be coming. Because that's how I'm doing this conference. It's everybody's normal. Everybody's equal. If you got a book out there, you're an author. It doesn't matter how long the book has been sold, been out. You're an author. So you get the same treatment. Nobody is getting other treatments better than somebody else. And like I said, if they want to talk shit, then I guess they won't come to Red Snappers Conference next year. We'll have all a bunch of unknowns or something. I don't know. I don't care. Shit. That's what we're doing. So that's what's happening. So, you know, that's how it's going to be. So, and I think we'll get more people that way. So I want you to spread the word. We're going to get it out as soon as we get to the venue. Then you can start spreading the word and telling everybody, hey, Red is treating everybody fair. There's no special tables for, I ain't going to say no other names of people, because the only reason why I say Eric is because he's my frat brother, but I'm not going to say no other names of other authors because they might get the wrong idea if they're listening that I'm talking about them or something. But no, I'm not. I care about us all as equals, because that's what we are, equal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. So, if you don't mind, I want to ask Miss Cotton to kind of talk about her new project that's coming out real soon, Sweet Mangles.
Oh,
can you tell us a little bit about that? Yeah, I saw those legs, and we were talking about that earlier, those legs. And those are her legs with the fruit in between them. Oh, God. Anyway, go ahead. Talk about it.
There you go. This project, this particular book, is probably more personal because I did actually decide to go ahead and pose for the cover. All the other pictures of my legs, they were just pictures that I already had that I just used. But this one I said, you know, I think I'll actually go out and take some pictures specifically for the cover. And it took a minute to capture this.
They look so soft. Anyway, let me stop. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm showing the wrong side of me. I shouldn't be showing. Go ahead.
So, Sweet Mangoes is actually really about a lot of love, and a lot of my heart went into this particular book because I wanted it to be different from, of course, the other poetry books that I put out there. So you know, my goal is to talk about love, and of course to reach some people, to get them to understand what love really is, and understanding what having a real relationship is about, and not some of the stuff that I see people doing. So a lot of this, I didn't. Eventually, I'll step out and do more research about relationships. But right now, it's basically based on my own experiences. Some of it, and then some of it is based on the things that I don't have. So, you know, I take a little bit from here and there, but I only focus on the good parts of that instead of the negative parts of that. So, okay. Sweet Mango is definitely going to be, I think you really love it. Some of my male readers may not love it as much. I'll say that, because the reason being is because there's a lot of dedication in there to GPA, my tag team partner, because in the beginning, as I started writing, he was a great inspiration to me writing prior to us getting to know each other. So
the male writers are going to be jealous because you ain't talking about them. But you was never talking about them in the first damn place. So what the hell? They the ones that had the damn fantasy going on. I mean, they thought they were just talking about them, and they didn't do what? Damn, you wrote that for me and don't even know his ass. How the hell is he writing this? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, when you put a name to something, it before you could just assume that it's about you. But when there's somebody's name specifically in there to say that this is about that person, now you're like, okay, so is the rest of it about this person too? All of it is not about GPA, but there is some dedication, as I said, to him in there, because he was really great inspiration to me in the beginning of
the book. Isn't there some stuff in there for me? Did you write some Red Snapper stuff? Isn't there something about Red Snapper in there anywhere? No.
I wrote about you in the first book.
Oh,
it's called Have Your Black Ass. Don't cut me off. Yeah, there's another phone call. Don't cut me off no more.
Don't cut me off no more on the radio show. I know. Just don't do it, Red. Just shut the fuck up, Red. God damn, I'm talking. Anyway, I got it.
Oh, God.
You know. But GPA, just in case nobody knows who he is, can I play this little one-minute thing that, you know, I just love this damn poem that he does. I'm going to play it real quick, and then, because this shit
is hot
as a motherfucker. Oh, I'm going to play it. Let me do it.
I didn't do that. We had talked about me coming out to Chicago to do that for him, but I didn't make it. So, you know, the next one, I'll be on.
I like that song just because of that. He didn't have to say shit. All I got to do is hear that.
Boom,
I like that for a minute and a half. I'm good and shit. But yeah, so yeah, that's what we'll be having here in Kansas City when we do Summer Love, and he'll be here as well, and Amani's going to be here. Now, Amani, you say you do poetry, so do you think you might want to do some poetry for us during that time when you come to town?
I think I can have some ready in 6 months.
Okay. Goddamn, we want you to do. We want to. Yeah, we want you to do something because I know you can get there because you write it like that.
We putting you on the schedule, Amani.
I don't blame. And there better not be no roses are red, violets are blue crap.
Come on, man. I can do a little bit better than that. Maybe not
really
cotton and
GCA,
you know, but I can put something together. Them guys are the truth, man. I can't compete with
that.
I can put something together.
You gonna bring Dreamer with you?
Because
she does poetry.
Oh, yeah. She's primarily, that's her thing, too, so.
Because you know something, that damn poem, I still remember that shit, This Motherfucker, boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that damn poem, that shit was hot. I don't know. Did you hear that one, Cotton? When Dreamer did that with Dreamer Sky, when she was on the show and she did this poem called This Motherfucker. That shit was...
Oh, I think I did.
That shit was off the damn chain. I'm sorry. Yeah, I enjoyed that one. So, you know, we definitely liked that. But I think Amani dropped should be back. But that was pretty good. So Sweet Mangoes is coming out. When is that supposed to drop, Cotton?
February, right before V-Day.
So is it the 13th, an hour before midnight, or what? When?
It's the 13th.
So Carmen, are you still there, sweetheart?
Yes, I'm.
What
here.
Do you have new that you're working on that's coming down the pipe for us soon?
Yeah,
are you
going
to be hopefully coming to Kansas City? Are you going to be coming in with your books and stuff, and visiting us so we can see you in person? Or do I have to come to Atlanta to see you?
I don't like the way either of those sound. I think you get a restraining order against you. You would not
you know restraint. I'm not going to hurt you, baby. I would never do that to you. Never. Never hurt you. No, I would never do that. But we want you to come. We want you to be involved because you're part of this panel, and we love you, and we want you to be involved. And
no, I know you got stuff going on. But my next project is not an adult type of thing. It's for the children.
Well, tell us about it. It doesn't matter. It's a project. Yeah. I think you kind of mentioned that before. Don't you have a website that's up that's dealing with Black history and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's called TheRootKeepers.com, and the name of the book will be The Root Keepers, and it's about two Black twins who are descendants of African griots, the African storytellers. And they're normal teenagers, and then they discover that they are responsible for being the keepers of Black history. And like most teenagers, they don't take it seriously. And because they don't, some things happen, and they have to go back in time to fix what they've messed up.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting to me. And, I want you to kind of keep us up on that so you can, you know, as it comes out. When is it supposed to drop?
Right now it is with the editor, so probably around March.
Okay. Well, you know, keep us informed so we can definitely have you talk about that when it comes out, and we want to read it as well. I mean, it's literature. It's writing. We do everything here on Word Sex Radio, not just erotica, even though we talk shit like that all the time. But we still support everything that's going on. Like, I have a book that just came out that is not erotic, my first non-erotic book. It's a self-help book, and I can actually say it's a self-help book. And I ain't talking about talking to women and shit. I ain't saying that Black women ain't shit and all that. The name is not even written by Red Snapper. It's called Change Your Lifestyle, Change Your Life. It's written by Leonard Ledoux Jr., and he's has a master's in education. It's on there. And it's a guide to losing weight and keeping it off, and actually goes into changing. It talks about changing your life as well as give you tips on how to, what you can do to get the weight off and keep it off, and you know, a little bit of nutrition, and there's even some recipes in this book. It's only 120 pages long, but it's a small little book that kind of talks about how this guy, Leonard Ledoux, lost weight, and how he went through some things and divorce and all that shit, and how fat he used to be and how little he is now. And it's out there now. You can get it on Kindle and Nook, and the hard copy should be out in a couple of days, if not tomorrow. But that book is out there. And it has a chest that now people have been asking me, is that my chest on the front of the book? No, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But that is not me. That's another person. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to read something that's not erotic by me, then go out and get that. And it's got some tips on what you can do and some good recipes and things in there that can help you to change your lifestyle by changing your diet and trying to eat better.
And that's what's up.
So we do more than just talk about fucking, okay? Okay. So, DV.
We do?
Yeah. What you got? You got something new coming out, man. What you got? What you got going on? I'm guessing things going on. Is there a Valentine 2 or what's going on, man?
Well, yeah. In addition to the follow ups to If You Don't Tell Him Valentine, I'm currently writing those books. I'm also thinking about writing this book that is kind of semi autobiographical about this cat that I know, and what he does is he's a guy who runs around and screws a lot of women. And eventually he gives them gonorrhea, and I'm calling it Red Clapper. Right, it has nothing
Red
to do with
Clapper.
You, man.
Oh, Red Clapper. He goes out and he fucks everybody, and he's a really good guy. He goes, Red Clapper. No problem. Okay. So does he get healed?
Nothing to do with you, man.
Huh?
I'm just joking, man. I had to get you. I had to pick with you.
Actually, you should write that, and I would be happy. I like that prodigy, Red Clapper. I like that shit.
So all we need now is for Carmen to write something about Red, and everybody will be complete.
That's right, because I got a poem called Red Snapper that's written by me by a certain lovely individual who has fruit between her legs that I want to know. Anyway, it's called Red Eating or Red Liquor or something. I don't know. What is the poem called?
It's
called Red
Snapper.
It's really
called Red Snapper.
Yeah.
And it's
so,
very
sexual. Yeah, it is. And Imani's back. I knew you had dropped for a minute. I'm glad you're back.
You got me all hot and bothered over here talking about...
So you had to go and take care of some shit, and then you jump back on, huh? All these damn swirls and licks and backwards and forwards and shit. I know what you mean. That's what we do. That's what we're in the business of, and GPA can do that with himself. I'm surprised he hasn't called in tonight. Brother is probably doing something out there, but that's it. And I see the chat room is open. I see Melanie's there. And Melanie, if you hear me, I did do a review for Untappd, and I really want you to read that. And of course, Business Affairs is my favorite story. I wasn't going to say that, but DV made me say it. But I really did like that story. Because he said he wasn't going to pick his favorite, and then he said it was. But I already knew it because you gave me that, and I read the whole book. And I'm going to tell you, that story is great. Great story. So, and I'm trying to get Monique Ninja on the show. She's got this new book called Nemesis coming out. I want to see what that's about. Get her on, see what the deal is. Anybody talk to her lately? I know DV hasn't.
No.
DV, what's up?
Yeah, what's up?
You talk to the girl who's writing Nemesis right now? Minza. How you say her name? Minza? Monique?
Who? Mensa?
Yeah,
Minza. Now, why y'all be trying to pin that on me, man? We bumped into each other twice. And I told you. It's not like, I call her, I'm like, girl, what you wearing?
But you probably want to call her and say what you're wearing. Shit, I would. But anyway.
don't put that shit on me.
She's got this new book coming out called Nemesis.
Nemesis.
I'm going to have to get her on here so we can talk about that. Yeah. It's all written in Greek letters. Shit. I'm interested. So So I'm going to have to contact her, see if she wants to come to Kansas City for the this conference we're doing and shit.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
The only reason why you want her at the conference is so you can take pictures, you nasty, nasty man.
I want to take pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that's all you said.
You're going to be her stalker. Her KC stalker.
I'm not a stalker.
What?
I'm a stalker. I don't have to do that. I just, you know. You know, I'm just going to, you know, say hi and shit. Say, DV told me to come over and say it to you.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, I'm putting it all on you.
Make sure you
was
put that
in
my
Louis? She was in St. Louis? Wasn't she in St. Louis? I missed that, didn't I?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, see, I fucked up. Anyway. It's okay. I'm going to talk to this lady and get her on the show again. She's been on here before.
Send my Facebook message.
I will. I know she's writing this book with Brian W. Smith right now, so I don't know. Shit. I'll just leave him. I'll leave that where it's at. But anyway, back to our show. Amani.
Yes, sir.
You're still there. You're not still bothered, are you? I want you to kind of talk a little more about it.
I'm good now. Thank you for asking.
Okay. So you drunk something and you're good to go now. You didn't have a cigarette and you're not drinking some wine. Okay.
I'm good, thank you.
What do you got new coming up? Because this book's out, and I know you got some new things that's going to be working, that you're working on. I mean, you kind of told us a little bit a few minutes ago, but, I mean, so what's new for you? What's next for you?
Well, I got those crime series that I'm working on, and I'm actually going to go back and pull out some of my poetry. I have a collection of poetry from 6 to age 40 that I want to publish. So I'm working on trying to get that out. So it's a couple of projects I got back on the back burner, and I'm working on some scripts with my son. He's a film student, so we're trying to get some movies popping. So I'm real busy.
You know, it's good that you say that, because I'm trying to do some screenplays myself. I'm actually writing a couple of screenplays. Well, I'm doing a screenplay for one of my books right now. And I chose to do it myself because I wanted to try to learn that art. And what I'm seeing in doing that is, believe it or not, if you have a book or something already written, a screenplay is easier than actually writing a book, because you have everything that you want to say and do with that. You just put it in place. And I'm learning that. So, you know, screenplays are not as hard as everybody might think they are. But it's good to have something that's already that you can go by. So, you know, I'm sure it would be hard to write a screenplay from something that don't exist, and you just write this screenplay from that and make it so. But if you got a book that you're writing it from, or something that you can use as a guide to you know, that helps out.
Right.
Yeah.
So. What is that again, DV?
I agree. If you have like a template, especially for writing a screenplay, it helps out a lot.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do that too, and I guess I'll try to find a director and all that, and try to get some funding in that aspect in the next couple of years, because I still got a couple other things I want to do before I do that. The screenplay I was writing was Scandalous Motives, but I'm kind of looking at this Act of Congress book that I did. I think that'd be a great movie. There's a few things that I have that I think would be good in that aspect, but we'll have to look at that. But back to you again, Amani. So you say your son is into, well, before I go any further, who is that working back there? It's like somebody's cutting and cooking or something, or making a meal or something. I don't know what's going on. Y'all hear that, or is it just me?
I heard just clinking and clanking, but I didn't know what it was.
What's all that clanking and clanking? And somebody, what they doing? Who is that? Is that you, Cotton?
No.
Ain't nobody
here making all that
noise. No.
Who's doing that? Carmen, that ain't you, is it, baby?
Don't even play with me like that. No.
Amani, what are you doing, Amani? Are you doing some work?
No. I'm just sitting here on the show talking. I wish the pots were clanking in the kitchen that I wouldn't have to cook nothing. But nope, that's not me.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I ain't doing shit. Don't try to blame it on me. I'm not playing with myself or anything like that. So
We know it would make that much noise.
Oh, listen to her. She would come in like that. I have nothing that will make that much noise, right, Carmen? I got you, baby. You're right. I'm that little guy.
Wow.
I'm that little guy that everybody blames. You know, that's a question. I'm going to ask that real quick. Women, why do women blame men for the size of their penises? I mean, like, they chose the size of that motherfucker.
Okay, but who else they got blamed?
Why do they do that? I mean, goddamn. I mean, like, okay, my dick's 12 inches and mine is 4. Okay, I chose a small dick. Okay, tell me about that.
We just figured you should do some extra stretches or something to make it grow or do something. I don't know. You should.
The way I see it, you know, it's a humbling experience. All right, if you got a tiny dick, you were meant to struggle through life. And I feel bad for you. But it makes you a better person. It makes you
struggle
a stronger person.
Or make you a better person.
At the end of the day, it makes your tongue stronger. So, I mean, it's a win-win, right?
What would really suck is that you can't eat pussy and you ain't got a dick to fuck with. I mean, you just fucked up in the
bed. You ain't tried hard enough.
Wait, you were
trying. You just gave up.
Look, you would turn around and write a book called Why Black Women Are Alone.
Wow. Is that your next project?
I'm going to call it Long Strong Tongue.
Long Strong Tongue?
Yeah.
Well, they already got this book called Daddy Long Stroke out that sucks. I should say.
Yeah, you talking
anyway.
About, what's his name?
Cairo.
Yeah,
he wrote that book. It was empty. It was just not good at all. I'm surprised they ain't put her name on that. But anyway, that book, it just didn't do it for me. It wasn't supposed to anyway. This motherfucker was going around, since we talked about this book, supposedly going around and being this great, satisfying guy and shit. And it was fucked up. I mean, it just didn't.
Yeah, but in the book, this dude had like 13-inch dick. I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying?
And everybody
really?
Can take all of it. Yeah, and the way he was right, every woman could take all of his dick. Like, it was just like, he can just fuck anybody, and they didn't hurt. His dick just went in him, you know. All 13 inches, you know.
I wasn't sure if it was written by a 12-year-old or what, but.
I haven't read it yet.
And women, we're not mad because the guy had a 13-inch dick. We're not saying that. We're just, how can that be, you know, I mean. But anyway, I got the book right here in front of me, and it's.
They were swallowing it, too. They was taking it down the throat, all 13. I was like, really?
Really? Yeah, they did. They sure did. They sure did. So,
DB, you wanted
her
number?
Yeah, I mean.
DB, what?
You wanted her number?
Whose number?
The chick that could swallow
the girl that could take all 13 inches down.
But shit, if she can take 13 inches of dick to her throat, then there's nothing I can do with her. All right, that's just real.
You ain't lying. Hell, can that bitch talk? Does she have any vocal cords or anything? Shit.
Man, all she can do is hum. You know, that's all you can do at that point. You can just hum. Grunt.
She must be hollow on the inside.
Amani, I'm sorry. We don't normally act like this on this show. I'm sorry. We don't normally talk this way. I'm sorry. The guests, we don't do this in front of the guests. I'm sorry. I just don't know what's going on. They're talking all this crap. This is not what happens here.
I'm gonna just be honest with you.
Actually, it's worse.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But
Todd.
You know, this guy,
this guy
is supposed to be in Atlanta that's doing all this fucking. This story was based in Atlanta. So do you know a dude down there that's fucking everybody and tearing they damn asses up and tearing up their vocal cords and shit? And he should be a serial killer. Is that going on down there? Because if it is, that's Daddy Longstroke.
I've yet to hear any reports of such, so.
But look, since he's down there stretching everybody's goddamn throat and shit, anyway.
Red, the other guest that we were supposed to have tonight, like I kind of, she had her book on CreateSpace, and I kind of peeked at the first chapter, and I was disturbed, you know, at some of the book. Yeah, like, and it wasn't, like, I was disturbed, and it was mostly because, I'm reading this book, and she's telling the story from her mother's point of view, and she's 5 years old, and she's telling, you know, her mother is telling her about all the sex that she's had to a 5-year-old. I'm like, who the hell does this? You know, but that's just me.
Well, she's an urban fiction, sexual, whatever person, and maybe that's why she decided not to come. But this one has about 7 books out, and I was interested, and she asked to come on the show, actually, and she didn't show up. But anyway, we're glad that Miss Imani True is a woman of her word and that she shows up. And she's always been a great supporter of me, and I've always tried to support her because she's a great person. And I enjoy having her around and in the mix of anything that I'm trying to do. And she always gives great advice. Matter of fact, this Change Your Lifestyle, Change Your Life book that I've done probably wouldn't even be here now if it wasn't for Imani. Is that right, Imani?
I think we discussed doing a project, but I wasn't that instrumental, I don't think. I mean,
and you know something, she you know something, she's trying to be humble with this, but fuck, the idea was hers. Basically, you should write a book on how you lost weight, Red. That's all I needed.
I know, and next year it's on Amazon.
Hey,
that's
well, Imani,
there it is.
Imani, he done already said it, so where are your royalties at? Demand your royalties.
If she wants some royalties, she can get it. If you want some royalties, you can get it. As soon as I make some money on this damn book. Anyway. But, yeah, she helped. She did help with the ideal, and she did help me with that. And I appreciate
that.
Look,
now you backtracking. Now you want to pay her an appreciation. She wants money.
Mm-hmm.
It went from being her idea to you appreciating her for, you know, stuff.
Oh, damn. Did I backtrack? Did I backtrack?
Wow.
Did you create Larry LeDoux? You created Larry LeDoux Jr.? Is that what you did, Imani, since they are saying that? I owe you money, baby.
No, I'm not saying that. I think we just had a long discussion about, you know, how good you were looking and how healthy you were looking, and you know, you let us follow along with your progress and all, and I thought, you know, that would be a real motivation for people that are trying to do it and think that it's impossible, and, you know, it's kind of hard to actually see the results, but when you watch somebody go through that whole transition from beginning to end, I think it's very inspiring. And nonfiction is wide open. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, it is inspiring because in 14 months, I lost 110 pounds, and I think that I'm happy about that. I lost 110 pounds in 14 months. So, you know, and I'm keeping it off. I'm trying my best to do that. And the lifestyle change is there. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate all of that. So, and Carmen, yes,
she's
telling me that I need to give you some money. Okay, if I have to do that, I will, because it's worth it. I lost this weight, and I'm happy with it. I feel great. Stamina, all kinds of shit.
I'm really proud of you.
There's stamina there now and everything. No, I'm just kidding.
Red, you know, I'm really proud of you because not a lot of, you know, 50-year-old men are taking the initiative to lose weight because they feel like, look, you know, I didn't spend my life doing what I need to do. Now I just want to do what I want to do. And, you know, they kind of let themselves go. But, you know, you took the initiative to take control of your health. And, you know, I really dig that about you, man. I really did.
There was a lot of things that I was dealing with. I mean, not as strenuous as a terminal disease or anything, but I had things going on with diabetes and all that now I'm not taking medicine for now because I lost the weight. So a lot of things have backtracked or changed, you know, stopped because of it. You know, like Lipitor for cholesterol, I don't have to take all that stuff anymore now because of that.
Sure.
And I'm still working on that, and that's about to be gone. I have sleep apnea. I don't have to use a machine anymore now because of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that has changed in my life because of this weight loss. So if you're out there listening and you think that you can't do it or you think you're too old, you can definitely do it. And you know what else inspired me? Was the 75-year-old lady that is the oldest bodybuilder, Miss Shepherd. I can't think of her first name right now, but she is a woman. If you get a chance to look her up, Ernestine Shepherd, look her up. She's 76 years old, and she looks like she has the body of a 20-year-old. This woman is phenomenal. And she's teaching aerobics. She runs 10 miles a day. She's married to a 50-year-old guy, and she's tearing his ass up. And
she's wearing his ass out.
She looks good. She's wearing him out, and she's 76, and she does not look old at all, I tell you. And that really did it for me. So Imani, we got 15 minutes. I want you to kind of tell everybody how they can get your books, if they want you for book signing, or what they need to do to get you to come in, how they can do that.
Right now, the book is available on Kindle right now, and it'll be in other e-books later on this month. Let's type in the title, A Little, something, something, S-U-M-T-H-I-N. Just like we say it, A Little Something Something. NCM Publishing, you can order it there. And right now, that's about it. I'll have my paperbacks next week, and then when by the time I get out on the road and get to your event, Red, I'll be fully stocked and ready to go. And okay. I'm just really excited about it. So now that I got that done, I'm working on some other things, and I'll be midway of another book probably by the time we meet each other in June.
Okay. Also, I want to take this time to, I think Mr. Claremont might be listening as well, Galvin. He has a new book out called Realities, Dreams, and Nightmares, and that's a pretty good book, too. You guys should pick that up.
Yeah,
he's a new author that's doing quite well. He's been on the show. We talked to him before. He was on here a couple of weeks ago, I think, or last month. And this new young author is doing great with his writing. And I think you should support him. He's the guy that we were talking to that was from the island. I forget which island he said he was from, but he's doing quite well. And his book is now available, I think, for 99 cents out there. You can get it now on Amazon and support this brother because he's really trying his best to write erotica and do well in it. And he's asked me all the time, does the book make sense? Is it, you know, he asks a lot of questions because he's really trying to do well in this. You know, even though he's studying
kind of a smart man.
Kind
of a smart man. He has a lot of questions.
Yeah, so, you know, his book is out there now. You should support him and get it, you know. I see that Amani did a review for him, and I did one as well, and there's some other people that's doing it. So just go ahead and let's support each other. That's what we should do. We have books that come out. We should support each other and do that. That's what we should do. If nothing else, we should have reviews from each other. If we don't get them from the fans, we want them from the fans, but still, a review is a review, okay? We want that. So we should help each other in that aspect. So that's what we want to do. So is that all you wanted to say as far as promoting the money?
Yeah, our website is, because we're part of the Kindle program right now, we have 90, you know, you keep it on there for 90 days and you can't do it anywhere else. So we're doing that right now. We're trying out that Kindle program. And, you know, when paperbacks get available and I get on the road, then I'll have paperbacks available. And I'm always on Facebook. I'm author Amani True on Facebook, Twitter, author Amani True as well. And, you know, if you inbox me and you want a paperback copy, I can hit you up with that once this Kindle commitment is over. But I'm excited and I'm ready to go. This is book number two.
I know I got a Kindle version, but I want a signed copy. So get ready to do that for me.
You got that, but you know that second book you got to come out hard and prove that first book wasn't a fluke. So you know what that's all about.
Oh yeah, definitely. So Sweet Mangoes, give me more on that. What you said is coming out on the 13th.
Coming out February 13th, 2012, of course. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to my website and get it at www.softspokenpoet.com.
Is there a way I can get a copy of the picture of the book? Not the picture of your legs only, that picture that you took.
You need to get the whole book. But, you know, there is a picture of my legs in the book. I'm keeping that as one of my signatures, so I always put a picture of my legs in the book. So, you know, and the great news is I just got my name trademarked, so no one can copy it. I'm happy about that.
Well, absolutely magnificent. That's great. That is great. I should have did that with mine. There's a lot of red snappers out there. Matter of fact, there's a restaurant here in Kansas City called Red Snapper, and there's there's a group out there, a band called Red
Snapper.
Red Snapper. Yeah.
Was that a long process to get that name?
Yeah, tell us about that, because we want to do that.
You said, was
that a long process?
No, actually, it's not. Once I filled out the paperwork, it's just a couple weeks later that they get back to you. The only downfall to it is that the money is non-refundable.
So if they don't approve you, you don't get the money back. So that's
a database online.
Why would they not approve you?
Because if somebody else had already applied for that trademark or too close to the brand,
see,
in general, can't be approved.
But
there's a there's a database online that lets you look it up ahead of time so you can hedge your bet.
Yeah, so you can check to see if that name is being used before you. You can check that name is being used before you apply for to have that done. So you'll know ahead.
That was really stupid of me to say. Damn. Anyway,
I was gonna also suggest that I think that at some point, you know, we should do a documentary about how we get to the point of our lives. What the process is of writing that we go through, each person's aspect of their life and what's motivating us to write, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of helps other writers who are out there struggling, because I get people asking all the time, how do I do it? How do I do it? And to me, it's very simple. I didn't hesitate. I wasn't afraid to put it out there. I just put it out there. So
we can definitely do a show on that. And, we would definitely have some more people on the panel with that as well, because we got the
not a show, a documentary.
You want a documentary?
You want to do a
film? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we should do that then. Well, I know we want to talk about the hit here when we do this thing this summer, so maybe we can do the documentary when we do it this summer, because I have some people I know that could probably film that documentary for us while we're sitting here doing it at our show this summer. Then let's try to do that.
Because some of us go into the, some of us get a brain freeze at times where we can't write, but people think that we're just sitting around and we just have it flowing all the time. I mean, I do right now, but I have moments where I just stop and I don't write for a day or so, and then I pick it back up. But some people can just write every day, and then some people can't. It just depends on what you're writing and what your motivation is, I think.
Right.
Right.
God, I like that idea.
Well, I think that's a very good idea. And we can, that could be a good project. We can ask people if they want to be involved in that. You know?
Yeah,
I think that would be nice. I definitely want to be involved in that.
I have a cousin that does
film, and he would be probably be someone to talk to about that. So that would be good.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
And I know what, I mean, we can talk about how you got into it and how you started being a soft-spoken one and why you use your legs all the time and put them on there and your feet and all that stuff, and, you know.
Well, I was thinking the event would be great, too, because it shows how artists as well as art, you know, different places, how we come together.
Why are you trying to change this? Well, Imani, we thank you so much for coming on the show. We got about 7 minutes, so we're going to let free fall stuff come out. Anybody got anything they want to say or shout out or anything? You got anything, Imani, you want to say to anybody? Instrumental that helped you to where you are to this point? Are you good?
You know what? I just want to thank you for, you know, always supporting what I do. I am honored to be able to support your work, you know, at the same level. And you'll just keep me posted on what you got going on. I'm always happy to, you know, come by your show. You got a feature coming on my blog anytime you like, man. I'm just, you know, I just appreciate the support. And, there's enough out there for everybody. You know, you don't have no room for jealousy. So
I am so glad you said that, because there are some people out there that just don't think that they think they got to have it all, that nobody else can write but them, and that you're only supposed to buy their book, and that's the only book that you read in your whole life. And that's bullshit. I mean, That's what's up. And you know, I'm going to say this real quick. This little epiphany came into my mind today. I'm thinking about opening a bookstore down here. So I might do that. And I'm going to be doing some book signings, and you guys can come here and do that. So I'm thinking about looking for a place and getting the bookstore open, and so we can sell, because they don't really have a place here in Kansas City that sells urban books or any African-American books except for this one place. And that place that sells them is only selling you your stuff like activist stuff and, you know, stuff like that, which is nothing wrong with that. But we want to have something that people can go to get our books, as well. She doesn't want to sell our books in there. She just only wants to put books like, you know, about Martin Luther King and stuff like that, which is not a problem, but we want to have something for us as well and a place for us to be able to do books on so people can come to us. So that's something I'm looking at, too. I got a lot of things I want to do, and I'm trying to make it happen. And you sit back and wish and wait for money, but sometimes you just do stuff. It'll happen.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to wait on nothing. You know. I mean, just
right.
Think about what it waited to write a book. I would never have one now. You know, I got 10 of them now. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you know, and same thing with the radio show. I mean, all this stuff that we're doing. You know, the publishing company, all that. I mean, if you sit back and don't do nothing, then it ain't gonna happen.
Absolutely.
You wait for it. Well, I gotta wait. Yeah. So, does anybody else have anything they want to say before I play my closing song?
Thanks for coming on, Imani True.
Thank you. I can't wait to meet you in Kansas City and attend your poetry event and just, you know, watch you do what you do. I'm excited about that.
We'll meet before that, though. You'll meet in Atlanta in March.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sounds
good.
And I will be there to stalk both of you.
You know, I might try to come to that Atlanta thing, if
no,
it ain't nothing like this
no,
one day and shit.
No.
Yeah.
Carmen, are you telling me not to come?
Staying at the airport. Yeah.
Is she telling me I can't come to Atlanta?
Yeah, that's what
she said.
Atlanta
has enough problems, Red. We don't need you. We got enough problems.
Ooh. She said, we don't need
you.
Wow. Yeah, I'm instigating. Mm.
Wow. I don't know if I should play the sound on that one or not.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
I'm not needed.
Yeah.
I'm not needed. Oh,
no.
God. I'm not needed. Anyway. All right. Well, goddammit, I'm here anyway. So that's what's going to happen. Red is going to show up anyway.
Red,
just
speaking of, though, you and DV are nominated, and so is Miss Cotton for the Word on the Street Awards. I did finally vote, but I was mad because I had to vote for some people I didn't know because they make you vote in every category. Thought I could just go and vote for you guys,
okay.
And I couldn't do that. So I had to vote in every category, so some people might win off GP just because I was like, ooh, I like your name. I'll click on you.
But damn, you know, and they're not going to announce winners until then, right? So I may have to come anyway just in case
know.
I don't win and still be there. I don't know. I mean, just like, because this is for the radio show, right?
Did
right.
you win
yeah,
an actual
no,
award this time, or is it just an FB award?
No, I mean, I think they're having an actual ceremony. It's being held at the Underground, is my understanding.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I know that other thing that we was nominated for, we didn't get that. Somebody else won that one, but that's good. I mean, I'm glad that people are recognizing Word Sexy Radio and wanting to even nominate it, so that's great, and I appreciate that, and thanks for voting for us. And Cotton, thank you for your poetry, because they're voting for me. I voted for you as well, so I definitely, and GPA is on there, too. It's kind of hard because both of y'all are in the same category.
Right.
You know, they got y'all as, you know, it's kind of, I ain't gonna say fucked
yeah,
up.
He told me he was dropping out, and I told him to don't do that. He said, I can't compete with you. I said, come on now, really?
Well, you know something? I voted for you. I didn't vote for his ass, so. But I like DV. Excuse me, DV. I like GPA. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't vote for his ass. His legs don't look
him,
like yours.
But screw him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know
yeah,
what I mean.
I'll
vote for him next time. Maybe
was,
I can go back in to vote for him once, and I vote for you, and that way you both get a vote for me. And then,
yeah,
I voted
for him as well as for myself. And it is hard because, of course, I want to vote for myself, but I'm very supportive of what he's got going on, too. So, you know, as
but
well as everybody else.
I voted
for myself as well. So, and I voted for you and DP, you know. So
I vote more than once. Well, you can go in and vote more than once on hers. Like the other one we was in, you couldn't do that. But this one, you can vote 15 times in a row and shit.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a popularity contest.
Well, Imani, we thank you for coming on and definitely keep up with me, okay?
I will, man. I will. God bless you, man.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right, guys.